Thank you very much, Paul, and thank you for the welcome. And it's a joy to be back with you again in Monkstown. And I congratulate you on the refurbishment of your church building. And it's looking so good. And we trust that God will bless you all as you seek to serve him and worship here in the coming days and for God's goodness to us. And thank you indeed for your prayers and your interest in the work of Slavic Gospel Association. As we continue to serve the Lord, we appreciate all who partner with us as we are serving God in these challenging days, and yet God is working by his Spirit. We thank God that as a mission, we are equipping the churches, and this was the vision of our founder, Peter Daneke, when our mission was established in 1950. And 72 years on, this is still our vision, to equip the church among the nations. We seek to do that through our four core ministries that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with. That is training workers. This is our Bible school ministry. When the students graduate from our Bible schools, then the second ministry is so important, and that is sponsoring leaders, where we finance missionaries in pioneering work. The third ministry is also important, because then we seek to give our missionaries good, sound biblical material to help them in their studies. We provide libraries for them. Currently, we're providing Bibles for pastors and congregations in Central Asia. And then the fourth ministry is so good and so helpful to those who are pioneering ministry, because people are in great need. There's tremendous poverty in many of the areas that our evangelists are serving. And so they can reach out by distributing aid. And thank God that this opens the hearts of people. It brings down walls of opposition in communities. And God uses this in a very wonderful way to evangelize and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our mission really began in Central and Eastern Europe, which were former communist countries there to the left of the slide. And then the work expanded 22 years ago. In the year 2000, we moved into Central Asia to the right of the slide. That brings us into Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan. Then we advanced again 4 years ago, when God opened the door for us to move further east and a little north, and that brought us into Far East Russia. And then this year, God advanced the work again when we began to work in the country of Mongolia. And so we thank God for the open doors that God has given to us into this large landmass of country, Mongolia. And yet the population is only about 3 million or maybe 3.3 million people living in this vast territory of Mongolia. As we look at the country of Mongolia, we realize that the religion is majorly probably Muslim, Buddhist, although atheism is very strong in this country. But evangelical believers are less than 0.9%. There are 28 people groups, 22 of them are unreached with the gospel. And as a mission, we're partnering in three areas as we serve in Mongolia, and this work has just begun this year. And so one of our missionaries in Russia, Alexandra, is serving God, crossing the border into the country of Mongolia. We just recently provided him with a vehicle so that he can travel the many kilometers or miles. He generally travels about 800 or 900 kilometers on a journey on his evangelism. And so what a joy to provide this vehicle for Alexandra as he's serving God and reaching into Mongolia. But also we're partnering with our sister mission in Germany, Bible Mission. And together we've been reaching out to the children over the summer in Mongolia. And it's tremendous that children have been reached with the gospel in camps. 59% of those who attended the camps were at camp for the very first time. And one of those people were like this young man, Ringo, 17 years of age. And at the camp, he heard the stories of the heroes of the Bible, who very often were shepherds. And he lives in a yurta tent, and his family are shepherds, so they're moving around quite a lot. And he realized that the shepherds in the Bible were great leaders, and that Jesus is the good shepherd, and that people can be part of the good shepherd and part of his flock. And so he's been invited to attend the church youth group, and he hopes he'll be able to do that. And this is just the influence of camps on children, on young people, and especially as we focus in Mongolia. Also this year, God has helped us to erect two hope centers. These hope centers are so good, so important to the vulnerable in society, ministering to children and to the young people. And just there last month, two of these hope centers were opened in Mongolia, yurta tents. And we thank God that they'll be caring for between 30 to 50 young people and children, each of these hope centers. And again, they're a great tool for evangelism and reaching the young generation in Mongolia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, right now, we're funding the translation and publication of the children's Bible in the Mongolian language. So really pray for this country. It is in spiritual darkness, but we thank God for this opportunity of reaching out at this time. We're also partnering with Trans World Radio in Mongolia. And this partnership is very strong, and God is helping us as we, with Trans World Radio, reach out into the rural parts of this country. The majority of people live in the cities, and especially in the capital, but there are people who need to be reached for the Lord in the distant areas of this country. And so, spiritually, it's a land that's steeped in darkness, in superstition, in religious confusion. Mongolia is officially a secular state. And as I said earlier, half of the majority, the population would adhere to Buddhism, but it's a country that's in great darkness. There's superstition, there's shamanism, there's folk religion, and people need to know who is Jesus. And so as a mission, with our partners, we're seeking to reach out in these days of opportunity. The gospel outreach is, it's difficult to reach these isolated areas, but in partnering with Trans World Radio and the broadcasts of the Bible stories and the message of the gospel, thank God today it's penetrating hearts, and families, and homes, and SGA is supporting a Bible series of messages entitled, Do You Know? And much of the material is simple, basic Bible gospel material that is sounding out across the airwaves, across Mongolia. And we rejoice again what God is doing and the thrilling response and the messages that are coming through of people who are being touched through the radio ministry. God is blessing radio ministry across these lands. I want you to listen to this testimony from a husband and wife, Jaka, and his wife, who are shepherds and living in the rural parts of Mongolia. But God wonderfully reached them with no church within reach of them. But God met with them, and they're saved by God's grace. Listen to their story this morning.
For centuries, Mongolian sheepherders have lived a life of extreme nomadic seclusion on the steppes of Mongolia. There are no churches here. Most people have never heard the name of Jesus. Yet, Jaga and his family met one of the only Christians in their area. Against all odds, they heard the gospel and believed. But how could they grow in Christ and learn more about God's Word without the local church and other believers? Our nomadic life is a huge challenge when it comes to being a part of a church family. Due to the sheer distance from any urban area, we could hardly visit and join a church on a regular basis. But radio has become our lifeline. It feeds our faith with solid biblical teaching and lifts our spirits, leading us in worship. We are unique in that sense. Our entire family depends and benefits from this radio. Often my husband takes the radio with him when he tends the sheep, and it has become his only confidant on the vast pasture. Indeed, the radio feeds my soul as it keeps a company, lonely shepherd as I am. The Word of God inspires and comforts me. My fellow herders now call me Jesus Jaga, of which I'm very proud of. What an honor to carry this title, and I feel privileged and responsible to be of good testimony to the Lord's name. I am forever grateful to Jesus that He has found me. Amen.
Amen to that this morning. And we trust that many more Mongolians will find the Lord and be transformed through the radio ministry and the young generation through other means that we're seeking to reach out at this time. Of course, as we work in Mongolia, I mentioned that we also moved into Far East Russia, that you see colored in the red to the right of your picture. You see Siberia in the green, but beyond that is Far East Russia. And that area, I understand, is almost the size of the United States of America. So we're speaking about a huge territory when we speak about that area colored in red, that is the Far East Russia. God has opened the door for us to serve there. This is the gospel to the ends of the earth. In this vast territory and region of Far East Russia, it's understood that there are only about 3,500 believers. There is a mission field and people who need to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as a mission, we're seeking to reach the unreached of Far East Russia. You can see here in the picture, there is Yakutia, which is a large region. That one region of nine regions in Far East Russia is the size of India. And we thank God for missionaries who are serving the Lord in that area. Michael is one of our missionaries. We're supporting 11 missionary families in Far East Russia. Michael is one. He's a first-generation believer. His father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, they knew nothing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first believers came to the Lord in Yakutia in 1991. And so God is working and the church is being strengthened and men like Michael are faithfully serving God. We count it a joy to support him financially as he's reaching out to pagan villages with the word of the living God. He's been working into 10 villages. 6 of them now have believers, and he's training some men to be church leaders, and he's trusting God for converts in the other 4 villages where he's reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As my colleague in America said, this is a modern-day Book of Acts ministry. God is using men like Michael, also Rostislav, who has a heart to reach the Jewish autonomous region of Far East Russia. And God is helping him. There are 115 villages that he wants to reach with the gospel. God has helped him to reach 20 of those, but there's a big challenge for him now, and that is that the remaining villages that he wants to reach out with the gospel, there is no access to these villages, only by plane. And so we thank God for the aviation program that we're also supporting, and we thank God for the pilots who are trained in serving the Lord. And so their desire is to increase their flights over the next year to penetrate on the interior of Far East Russia and to seek to bring missionaries there to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the pilot with Rostislav are able to move into these villages, land in a little safe patch of ground to bring the gospel. We rejoice for these little planes that are flying. Already, there are 3 of them in Far East Russia. We're helping to fund the planes to fly and fund the missionaries to bring the gospel as they fly in the planes. And God is bringing them to isolated communities, people who have never heard the name of Jesus. Recently, they arrived in a little village. It was good that they brought a lawnmower with them, because while they were evangelizing the village, the grass grew on the runway, and so they needed to cut the grass before they could take off again. And God is using this to reach the unreached in Far East Russia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had the wonderful joy of reaching 25 children and adults as well in that village, telling them about Jesus, the mighty to save. We rejoice in what God is doing and how the Lord is helping our missionaries. Over the summer, they had 50 camps, 228 children give their hearts to Jesus, and 214 of them have been enrolled in Sunday schools that they will grow in grace and come to know God in a more wonderful and a more powerful way. New generation finding Jesus, and we thank God for what the Lord is doing already in Far East Russia. But tragically and sadly, what is happening in Russia also breaks our hearts, because the news from Far East Russia is disturbing and heartbreaking. The repercussions of the war in Ukraine have begun to touch this region, and the Kremlin's plan to mobilize huge numbers of additional military is now touching our missionaries and men in the congregation. And we just got this message from one of our missionaries just a few days ago. Due to mobilization, I received a recruitment order, and now I'm in the process of going through medical checkup. We pray and place our hope in the Lord that I will not have to participate in military combat. These men are being called up to go to the front line of the war in Ukraine. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for God's people. They don't want to be involved in combat duty. Pray that God will preserve them and watch over them. And of course, the options are very difficult for them. Pray that God will minister to them. And our dear missionaries that we're supporting in Far East Russia at this time. Indeed, the war in Ukraine is very real. The focus of the world has been on this nation, as we have as a mission. And I want to say thank you to you as a congregation who gives so generously to the crisis in Ukraine as we seek to reach out and to minister to those who find themselves in great need. The 24th of February not only has changed Ukraine, but has changed the world. We face a very difficult situation in this country. Pastor Igor Bandura, who was here in your church many years ago, and he was here because I was with him, one Tuesday evening, the vice president, the senior vice president indeed, of the Baptist Union of Churches in Ukraine. He was speaking to the staff of SGA on the Monday. The war began on the Thursday, the 24th of February. These were the words that he shared with the staff of SGA. He said, wars and rumors of wars is not a reason to stop preaching the gospel. And then he went on to say this. The gospel should be preached, and that is the main responsibility of the church. Friends, I can tell you today in Monkstown, the church in Ukraine is alive, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the priority of the church in Ukraine. When I was there, I met a young lady, 32 years of age. I was seeking to reach out to her and try to identify with all that they're going through. The lady's reply to me was this. We see what's happening in our country as a gospel opportunity. And today, God is working and the church is reaching out. Yes, there's evidence of homes destroyed. As I walked down the towns and cities and looked at the memorial walls, to the hundreds, to the tens of thousands of people who have died in this war in Ukraine. It is very, very real. But in the midst of what's happening in Ukraine today, God is building his church. In recent days, we received a report from the Baptist Union of Churches from Brother Igor Bandura, where he shared with us that recently there has been 20,000 more people attending the churches and well over 3,000 new converts have been baptized. And the Lord is helping the church in Ukraine. The Bible seminaries have opened again. Hundreds of new students began their studies in September across the 7 Bible seminaries in Ukraine. And we, as a mission, support some of these seminaries. Over the summer, God blessed the camp ministry with our partners in ministry in Ukraine. And we support 35 missionary families in that country. There were almost 400 camps. Over 39,000 young people and children attended the camps. And over 3,000 of them gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And God is working in this nation. As a mission, the request came from the Baptist Union, could we help to support another 120 missionary families so they would be able to stay in the ministry. God helped us. We stepped forward with your help and many across the United Kingdom and Ireland. We were able to provide for another 120 missionary families for a period of time. But another request came to us the other day. Can you help us to support 315 church leaders and pastors in Ukraine who need financial help if they're to stay in the ministry? Ukraine needs gospel workers. As a mission, we feel it's our duty and responsibility to help to provide for them that God will continue to bless them in the ministry. Also with our partners, we're seeking to provide 100,000 Bible sets in Ukrainian language. This is children's Bibles and adult Bibles. Friends, there's a hunger for God's word today. People are reaching out for God's word and for the message of the gospel. Let me share with you our friends in Ukraine who were there at the demise of communism. And God really moved in 1991 and the early 90s. I think it's true to say that there was an outpouring of God's spirit. We could maybe go as far as to say there was revival in Ukraine. And yet our colleagues who were there then have told us that what's happened in Ukraine today is far beyond whatever they experienced before. Yes, Ukraine is facing a war. There's tragedy. There's devastation. There's death. There's broken hearts. I met them.
It's so real, my friends. But in the midst of all that's happening in that nation today, God is on the throne. God is helping His people. God is blessing the gospel message. Many are reaching out for God. As one brother said to me when I was there, when you have all your earthly belongings in a plastic bag, then you begin to think, what is life? You begin to think, what is there beyond life? Ukrainians have all their earthly goods in plastic bags today. But God is touching their lives with the gospel. Also requests for 242 generators. Churches want to become hubs. You've heard the news. You've heard of how Russia has been attacking the infrastructure and the electricity supply in Ukraine. The churches want to have electricity so that the community can come to the church. They can sit in heat, in light. They can make a cup of tea. They can have fellowship. They want this to be a witness in the darkness of this winter that is ahead of this nation of Ukraine, that there might be light in the church, not only from a generator, friends, but all the light of Christ that will touch many hearts and lives. And together with our sister mission in America, Slavic Gospel Association, U.S., together we're seeking to provide generators for the churches. There will be more requests as we seek to reach out and provide for this. The number of widows, friends, is growing so much every day in Ukraine. When I was there, I was informed that between 100 and 200 Ukrainian military are being killed every day. The Widows Project in SGA was launched 22 years ago. If there was ever a day for our Widows Project, it's today. Not only for Ukraine, but the surrounding countries that are struggling and seeking to help Ukrainians. Already we have sent huge sums of money to Ukraine, that the money will be distributed to the churches as they reach out to widows. Friends, God's word exhorts us to care for the widows and provide for the orphan. And as a mission, we seek to fulfill the word of God at this time, that many widows will be ministered to. And through the love of Christ in a practical way, their hearts will be reached for Jesus Christ. While they're broken and losing their husbands, losing a father, oh, that they'll find Jesus and that God will continue to help us. We think of Alexander, one of our missionaries, who's in the Donbass region. He has been told to leave. He said, I cannot leave. If I leave, the people will starve to death that I'm ministering to. His church building was hit with Russian missiles, but we hope to get the building repaired that people can worship there. We also provided him with a vehicle that he can take vulnerable elderly people out from the Donbass war region to a place where they can be safe, but also to bring food boxes into the villages to feed the hungry people. There's a mission, we thank God, that you and so many people have helped us to reach out and to help to provide for these food boxes that will sustain a small family for about a week. These boxes are packed in the city of Lutsk in the west of Ukraine in a Christian printing factory. And it's wonderful because the volunteers are there packing the boxes. And the printing presses are printing Bibles and Christian literature. And they're being put into the boxes as those boxes are sent right across Ukraine, right over to Donbass. And God is using this as a wonderful tool of ministry, enriching and providing for people. But our missionaries are tired. They're worn out. And when I was there, they made a request, some of the leadership of the church, could you help us to have a short retreat for some of our missionaries? So with God's help, we were able to send the money, and the missionaries were able to go to the Carpathian Mountains just for a few days of rest, just to be away from it all, that they might be strengthened in the Lord to continue the ministry that God has called them to. One brother shares of what the retreat meant to him.
Peace to you, dear brotherhood. We want to thank you so much for the time you provided to us. We are married for 16 years, and it's the first time for two of us to be somewhere together. We thank you so much. Thank you for the blessings and support from you. May God bless you. We are so glad to have such a retreat time. May God be with you.
for your prayers, dear friends. I want you to pray for the work of God and as we seek to serve the Lord and for our dear brothers in Far East Russia, and that God will keep his hand upon this situation, that God will help in Mongolia with the Hope Centers as we seek to reach a young generation and through the radio ministry reaching the rural parts of Mongolia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And please pray for Ukraine, that God will strengthen the believers and that God will help them as we seek to help them, and that together we will see God doing a mighty thing in this nation. You know, friends, as I think of Ukraine, wouldn't it be wonderful? The light of the gospel came from this war-torn country across the dark continent of Europe again. God can do wonderful things. Please pick up our magazine as you leave. Front Lines, there's a copy for you. It's just released and arrived with me the other day. Also, please take this booklet. I know I sent some through to the church, but if you didn't get one, please pick up one of these booklets. Speaking more about our work, and a QR code in the back that will bring you to a video about the work in Ukraine. Also, our Prayer Matters booklet, it's available for you. Our Phoebe ministry as well amongst ladies, and maybe you'd like our Phoebe rep to come to a ladies event here. She will gladly come and share about what God is doing through ladies in these days. We also have an online ladies conference in January. And you can pick up one of these leaflets and register for this, ladies, and join in to hear those ladies sharing from the field and what God is doing through their ministry. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share something of what God is doing. Stand with us, friends. We need you. And we need you to pray for us in these difficult days. Thank you. Then we turn together to John's Gospel, chapter 9. Reading together John's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll commence to read at verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Amen. And we pray God's blessing upon the reading of his word. On one of my first visits to Eastern Europe, I remember it so well, and I remember walking down the street of the city, and there sitting on the pavement was an elderly lady. She was leaning against the wall. She was blind. Sitting there with a little card in her hand were these words written, In the name of Jesus, please help me. That lady may have been brought out there every day, maybe to sit, to beg, that she might survive. I don't know her circumstances or all that was entailed. But that image is still very clear in my mind over all of these years. As we come here to John chapter 9, we find a man who was blind. He may have been brought out by his relatives to sit in the highway or people where people were passing by, sitting there in the scorching sun possibly, very, very difficult circumstances for him. But the word of God tells us here in verse 1 that there was a man who was blind from his birth. And it's wonderful when we read this because we immediately see that Jesus is interested in individuals. Jesus was dealing with a man, not the crowds, not the multitudes, but with an individual. And today, isn't it wonderful, dear friends, that God deals with us as individuals? Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And God sees us where we are, God understands us, God knows all about us. And God doesn't deal with us as a congregation, God deals with us as individuals, as He comes and ministers into our waiting hearts this morning. Here was a man, and Jesus was focusing on this individual. He was not indifferent to him. He stops with the man and he seeks to minister to him in a very, very wonderful way. I want us to note here as we look at these few verses briefly this morning, there is this spiritual condition from the man's human condition, because we read here in verse 1 that a man was blind from his birth. As we think of this condition that we find here, I want us to note, first of all, that it was indeed a miserable condition. He was blind. Now, I'm not saying today that being blind is a miserable condition. Please don't misunderstand me. Blind people and those with impaired sight live a wonderful life and a life of fulfillment today, and we're grateful for all that is provided for them. It's wonderful. But when we look at this situation and at this man in his day, we immediately discover it was a miserable condition, because not only was he blind, but in verse 8, the Word of God tells us he was a beggar, because the people said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" So not only was this man physically blind, but also we discover that he was a beggar. And this is how it was in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we spiritualize this, we find the spiritual condition and we discover it here as we look at this man. You know, friends, today people are in spiritual blindness. The Apostle Paul discovered this very early in his ministry, and he put it like this: not all have faith. And Paul knew why not all had faith, because he tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4, and here he speaks about the gospel being held back and people being blinded in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. People are so controlled by Satan that he effectively shields them from the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And we must pray against that dark spirit who blinds the hearts of men and women. They are spiritually blind, and as a result, they are spiritual beggars. They're begging from the world. They're living for its pleasures. They're enslaved by sin and its pleasures. Friends, the Word of God tells us they're in bondage to Satan and sin. Look at chapter 8 and verse 34. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And contrast that with the position of the true believer that we find in John 8 and verse 36, where the Word of God says that the Son therefore shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. Friends, today the believer is in a wonderful freedom with Christ. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, that we have been brought into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The world will look at us. They will consider the Christian to be the most miserable person on earth. They will consider us to be people who are in bondage and we have to obey rules and regulations. Friends, isn't it so true of the words of that lovely song that we used to sing, "I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the fear of the past, for I've traded my shekels for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free at last." Today, we're in a glorious freedom. Why? Because the Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." But friends, for the world today, for the vast majority, my friends, for billions in our world today, they're in spiritual darkness. They're blind. And because they're blind, they're beggars. And because they're beggars, they're in bondage to Satan and they're enslaved by Satan. Not only, friends, do we find this a miserable condition, but we find an original condition. The Word of God says in verse 1 of John 9, "And a man was blind from his birth." Today, we too, and across our world, there's a condition from birth, and that is sin. The Word of God reminds us in Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Dear friends, the Word of God is clear that this is an original condition. The psalmist David confessed to this in Psalm 51, where he said, I've been born in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Friends, not only is this original condition, not only is it a miserable condition as we look across our world today, and maybe, friend, you're in this church and you're still blind to the gospel. Maybe today you have never come into the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you're blind. You're a beggar. You're in bondage to Satan. Oh, friends, the Word of God tells us this is a universal condition. In Romans 3:23, the Word of God says, for all have sinned and they have come short, or they've fallen short of the glory of God. This is a spiritual condition of man. My friends, it's spiritual blindness, but there is hope. And this is what world mission is all about, dear friends. This is why we're enthusiastic about the gospel. This is why we want to reach this world for Christ. Because, my friends, there is hope. And today there's hope in the gospel. And today this message burns in our hearts and we long to bring it to others. We see here in verse 10, verse 11, a man called Jesus, he said, anointed my eyes and I came seeing. Isn't this wonderful? My friends, isn't this true of many of us in this church? Today we have that spiritual sight, a man called Jesus. He touched me. He made me whole. And this dear man, he could say, there's a man called Jesus. And he anointed my eyes, and I have come seeing. Oh, the Lord can touch us. This is a wonderful miracle, my friends. It's a miracle because it's only God can do it. And God can work mightily by His Spirit. Wasn't it John Newton who penned those words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Look at verse 25. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Friends, this is true. This is an experience. This is real. This is what God can do. Friends, God can bring that sight into the darkness, and the gospel can touch lives, and world mission is all about presenting Jesus. You know, the sinner needs more than better environment or better living conditions. The sinner needs spiritual sight. And it's true what Brother Igor said concerning Ukraine. He said there may be war, there may be rumors of war, but we must keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ukrainians, beyond everything else, need the gospel. My friends, our country needs the gospel. Our world needs the gospel. And world mission is about bringing the gospel to a world, to the billions who are in darkness today. Oh, friends, we find the spiritual condition. But secondly, we find the Savior's compassion. In verse 6 and 7, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Yes, the Bible doesn't use compassion here. But Jesus responded to the need. My friends, compassion will drive us into action. And here for the Lord Jesus, he was a compassionate Savior. We read about that many times in the Word of God. When he saw the real needs of people, he felt the pain of people. He was moved by physical needs, the sick and the lame and the blind. We see in Matthew 14, verse 14, Jesus was touched by material needs when people were fainting and were hungry. Jesus was touched by the spiritual needs, and the Word of God says that he had compassion on them. My friends, I believe today there's a compassion to be emulated. Oh, that we had compassion for the lost in our world. Friends, if we have compassion, then we will be moved into action to reach this world for Jesus. When we look at the account there in Luke chapter 10 and the man who was lying on the wayside, traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the bandits came and the thieves and they left the man lying for dead. And the Word of God tells us that a priest came and passed by, the Levite came and looked at him and passed by, and the Samaritan came and he helped him. Why? The word of God tells us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 33, he had compassion on him. My friends, when we have compassion, nothing will hold us back from action. And today, my friends, as we think of the great need, there's the Savior's compassion. There's the spiritual condition. But we find here also the saint's challenge. And here we find, as we read in verse 4, Jesus said, I, or in the original, it's we must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. In verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, means as long as I'm here. But when he's no longer in the world, the believers become the light of the world. We read in Matthew 5:14, the Sermon on the Mount, ye are the light of the world. And here is the saint's challenge. We must. Friends, that's a divine compulsion. We must do the work of him who sent us. Jesus was always about the Father's business, and I must preach in other cities also. I must be about my Father's business. If there was ever a time for this compulsion, surely it is now. I must. Friends, there's a divine compulsion for us today. I know if I was to tell you my age, you wouldn't believe it, so I'll not tell you, because I look so young and so fresh this morning. But you know, friends, there's something I'm very aware of, and that is this one life of mine is passing. And I've said to congregations over the years many, many times, and you may have heard me, only what I do for God is going to last. My young son was preaching recently. I heard a sermon online. He said something that challenged me as a young teenager growing up, was listening to my dad challenging congregations, you have only one life to live. I challenge you again amongst him, Baptist Church this morning, you have only one life. The material, the temporal, the earthly will pass away. It's only what I do for God is going to last. And I'm sure, like you, dear friends, when I stand before the Lord, when earth and seas have fled, I trust I'll hear those words from my Savior, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why, my friends, this is a divine compulsion. We must. We must work the works of him that sent us while it's day. For the night is coming when no man can work, not only the divine compulsion, but the dark crisis. The night is coming. Jesus was facing Calvary. There was the night of Calvary, and the night was coming. Jesus said, we must work the works of him that sent us while it's day. The day is short. The King is coming, dear friends. Work while it's day. But there's the dark crisis. The night is coming when no man can work. I think I've shared with you before, and with this I finish, the words of a dear missionary that really has touched my life. The late Molly Harvey, who served with Acri Gospel Mission and went to the Amazon to serve God there. And when she was called to go, she had to go visit the Royal Victoria Hospital and sit before a panel of doctors who examined her. They told her, you cannot go. Your heart is weak. You will never survive being in the Amazon. But God had called her. And she went and she served God for many years. I think almost 40 years. I met her when she was in her 90s. She was just a little lady by then. She said with some amusement, she said, you know, the doctors who told me not to go to the Amazon are all dead and I'm still alive. But her words impacted my life. Molly Harvey said this, don't count your years, but make your years count. The night is coming when no man can. dear friends, in this missionary meeting, I trust that the spiritual condition of our world will grip our hearts. My friends, that spiritual condition will grip us, that the Savior's compassion will be emulated in us. And that we'll fulfill the saint's challenge. We must work the works of him that sent us while it's day, the night cometh. When no man can work, maybe you say to me, Derek, I've wasted years. I haven't served God. I haven't been involved in ministry the way that I should have been. Let's start today. Let's step out with God. And let's say from the depths of our hearts, I'll go with God and leave the world behind. And I'm going to serve him with every moment of every day. Will you do it, friends? Let's go forward. Let's reach this world. Your word, O Jesus, and may God bless you in your ministry in this church and all that you seek to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God be with you. He's coming soon, friends. We're awaiting that great event. When the Lord said to John in the Isle of Patmos, behold, I come quickly. And what did John say? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Friends, may we be saved and serving him. When he comes, the Lord be with you, friends, and may God use us.